Yes, Lord. Even now, Lord. Father, we are ready at worship. We already sense the manifestation of your presence. Lord, give increase, an increase, an increase. Father, even now, for your glory, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. This is the final message of this series, the deconstruction of idols, and I would add the idol of me, the idol of you. As we are looking at Paul as he went into Philippians, and hopefully today I will be able to sum it up. And I want to say to the music director, perfect song for the sermon. I don't know if I can do it justice, but y'all did it justice. Amen. Don't have to stand. I'm going to read the end of Philippians, and I'm going to try to tie all this together as we go into Philippians 3. I will find where I want to read from. And it reads like this in your hearing. He said, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also has laid hold of me, that God captured me because he has a purpose in mind for me. So before I was born, he had already called me. Then he revealed himself in me while I was living, that I may be set in the pursuit for which I was created. That's not just Paul saying that. That's all of us. He go on to say, he says, so I do not count myself as apprehended, but the one thing I do, I let go, I forsake, I forgive those things which are behind me, and I am reaching, I am pressing forward to the call, to the purpose that is ahead of me. I press towards the goal, the picture, the vision of the prize of the upward call of God, in which is in Christ Jesus. Because I was made in him. I was created in him. My purpose in him. My fulfillment is in him. Therefore, watch this. Let us, that means all that are Christians, especially those that are mature, have this in mind. If anything you think otherwise, God will reveal to you this also. Nevertheless, to any degree that we have already attained, let us walk in it. Let us walk by the same, and this blew my mind, rule. Spiritual principle. Lord, even now. I got a question. How big is your God? how big is our God? How do we, is he big enough to handle every problem you face? Is he big enough to handle you and all your situations? Oh, that's easy to say. Come on now. And we're in church, so of course we're gonna say yes. But the reality of it, that if we live this, it would change the way we respond to problems. It would change the way we respond when our rights have been violated. It would we be quick to forgive when somebody has done us wrong. This isn't, how can I say this? For too long, we live church without living Christ. There's the ability that we got church ethics, but don't have Christ living. The song the choir just sung, he said, this is what I do, but it goes deeper than that. We do it because this is who I am. Praise got to be more than just what we do. It got to become so a part of us. Let me give you an example. Praise was such a part of Job that when Job lost everything, he bowed himself down and he said, naked I came into the world, naked I shall leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And scripture said he worshiped. Worship, our relationship with God, not religion, but our walk with God has to be so center, the center point of our life, that worship becomes what we do when we don't know what else to do. It's the first thing and last thing. And everything in between. There is, Paul is saying, with all that I have accomplished, with all that I have done, there's still a place in him, being Christ Jesus, that I haven't arrived to yet. He said, even though my whole purpose, so someone said, matter of fact, I got to give Kenny Graham credit for this. He said, we are not on earth to find fulfillment for our lives. It's so quiet in here. Let me say it again. We are not on earth to find fulfillment for our life. Let that sink in. You're not here on earth to find fulfillment for your life. And can I be honest with you? All of us been caught up in that. The dying of me is the dying of that lie. That lie is from Satan. Show me in the Bible where it says, I put you on earth and you go about and you find fulfillment for your life. That is not what God said. That's what Satan says. And Kenny went on to say, he said, we are here to fulfill our purpose for which we have been created to be and to do. And I'll add, when you find that, you find fulfillment. Satan has blinded us to the degree that we say things that we ought not to say. Let me give you an example. One time, I've been guilty of this too. People come and they talk about their problems, and they would say this, and I would give them biblical answer. They say, but I'm talking earthly things. Wait a minute, everything is spiritual. And what we say How we respond is having spiritual waves that come back and affect our thinking, our blessings. You know what I'm scared of? I'm scared that when I get to heaven, I'm going to see how many blessings I miss because I did it my way. I think we're going to discover the very thing we needed, the very thing we was looking for. The problem is that you had to go through this test. You had to go through this waiting to prepare you for what God had for you. But because we shook ourselves and shook it off of us, and what God had for us, we wasn't ready to receive it. Because if you're not ready for the blessing will kill you. Oh, this is a journey of learning how to walk, watch this, not in religion, but walk in faith with him, knowing him, learning to trust him, learning. Paul says, I have tasted so much of him that my one desire is him. David says in Psalms 27, he said, I have one desire, that I may see your beauty and see you and endure your presence in the temple. You know, there's something about once you have trusted him by faith that God starts feeding you his wisdom, his goodness, his love, and you begin to say, there's nothing like you, Lord. Is there anybody in the house? I don't want to feel like I'm on a limb by myself. Is there anybody that knows that the best thing that ever happened to you was Jesus? And nobody loves you like he loves you. Nobody can do you like he. Is there anybody that knows what I'm talking about? I'm gonna give you a secret. Bless yourself by chasing Jesus. But bless yourself. Listen. You don't chase Jesus because you want to be saved. If you know him, you are saved. But at some point, God begins to take off the spiritual blindfold that all of us been deceived in, and we're chasing the things of the world that does not fulfill, does not satisfy. We are buying into the movies, the commercials, the shows, these reality shows, and all of it is built on the things of this world that is meant to get you wrapped up, tangled up, messed up. You know. When you're on a farm and you butcher pigs and bulls and all that, you set aside the ones that are next. Y'all didn't hear that. You set aside the ones that are next to be slaughtered. And you give them all the good stuff. I can imagine that they'd be, this is good. Our owner loves us the best. Look at those poor suckers over there. And they ain't getting what we get. We've been set aside, and they let us eat as much as we want. Then they give us some more. And we look at sinners, and we jealous of them that they're being blessed. And God makes us wait, and it looks like they're getting everything that they want to get. And we wonder why we have to go through so much. And if we're not careful, We get jealous of those that Satan is setting up for the slaughter. Because we don't understand. Can I say this? I got to say this. It just hit me. And you don't get away with nothing. There is a spiritual principle that whatever you lay down is coming back. I remember as a kid, you know, I was a rambunctious kid. I got into a lot of stuff. I had a boomerang that I would throw. And then what I didn't understand is that from the point you throw it, it's coming back. Hold on. So I would throw it, and then I have to dive and dodge because it's coming back. When we run out of his will, in his will, out of his will, in his will, and we think that being his will is covering us somewhat. But whatever you throw is coming back. This week, my grandbaby was sick with double ear infection. Now, I don't remember this as a kid. Mouth, hand, foot disease. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He was running a temperature at least of over 102. And usually he's all over the place. They ask, can I babysit? Sure. Usually he's all over the place. But him being, he sat right there next to me or on my leg, and he just wanted to be next to me. If there was any space between us, he would turn to make sure he was leaning and resting on me. And we watched his favorite shows. Okay. He didn't want to eat much. I couldn't get, but what he wanted is, he wanted my presence. This morning as I was getting ready, God said, remember that all he wanted was your presence. You know what I said to myself? I said, Lord, help me to realize I'm sick. Yeah, somebody didn't catch that. Lord, even at my best, I'm still sick. Help me to recognize that at my best, I'm still not well. Matter of fact, the Greek word said we're shattered. And let me recognize that the best place for me, the place where I find my strength and my healing, the best place where I find my satisfaction, that I'm resting on you, Lord. Is there anybody in the house recognize that the best place where you need to stay is resting? Oh, Paul is saying that the rule of the game for every Christian is this pursuit of Jesus, because you was created by him, for him, and you find your life in him. For the longest, we've been taught religion, not relationship. You know what? Religion leaves you empty. You're checking the boxes, but then you're going to find yourself and your life someplace else. Hey, people, I'm just trying to find my life. Well, you find it in Jesus. Yeah. You always talk about him. I don't know about you. I don't got nobody else to talk about. And I'm not talking, listen, before God got me, I did not go to church until I was 13, and I only have two memories. He came and snatched my butt. Spent spent 3.5 years devouring the Bible and praying because he had to deconstruct me. What I preach to you is, yes, it's biblical knowledge. Yes, I study. And all, but it's also my experience with him, because I'm teaching you what he's teaching me. Most of the time we think that people don't know life. Listen, if God didn't keep me from killing me, I'd be dead. God stepped in and brought me out, and I am forever thankful. So I'm not talking to you from a theological standpoint. I'm using not theory, I'm talking about experience that lines up to the word of God. It's real. It's real. It's real. There's something you don't know till you taste. God says to the children of Israel in Isaiah 43, he said, I brought you through the flood and the water didn't overtake you. He said, I brought you through the fire and the fire didn't even burn you. You know what he's saying? Listen to what he's saying. He said, I'm not asking you to have blind faith. Because if you look back over your life and you see what I kept you from, what I brought you out of. I know there's some folks in here. If other folks would have went through what you gone through, they wouldn't have made it. And the only reason why you made it, God was there keeping you all the time. You're not that smart. You're not that good. You're not that tough. God was there all the time. There was doors I was trying to walk through. And God shut the door because he knew if I would have walked through that door, I wouldn't have came back. God opens doors and shut doors. God makes ways and closes ways so that he can bring you to this exact place of knowing him. Paul looks back and said, Lord, I recognize that if you love me that much, if you are concerned about me that much, then I can trust you with everything. Even when I don't understand it. You know what? Your faith can't be based on your understanding of the situation. Our faith cannot be based on how you feel. Your faith has to be grounded and rooted in the word of God, on the fact that he gave Jesus as a sacrifice for our salvation, on the fact that he has already brought you through enough stuff that if you look back over your life and realize I survived that by God's hand, so I can trust him. Let's go on. In Acts 27, Paul is on a ship. You know, he's not driving the ship. He's a prisoner on the ship. And he tells them it's not a good time to sail. And they don't listen to him. So he is in a position that he didn't place himself. And a storm breaks loose. How can I say this? When a storm breaks out, and all hell breaks loose, you better be a praying woman and man. hold on, let me tell you how bad this thing got. If you read the text, I'm not going to go, I'm just going to, you know, tell you how the story goes. It got so bad that everybody on the ship quit eating for at least 14 days. Hold on, non-believers. They were scared. Hold on. It looked bad, but God had already promised Paul, you're going to get to Rome. And this ship was taking him to his destination. Hold on. Things got so bad that in the 14th day, Paul told them and they didn't listen. Don't go out there. It's not going to be good. But since they didn't listen, they're paying the consequences of their disobedience. On the 14th day, an angel came to Paul and told him, he said, Paul, tell them they will make it, though the ship is going to be wrecked. Tell them, don't get off the ship in those little boats, because whoever get off the ship is out of the covering. Now listen to the principle. As long as you are under my word, doing what I want you to do, no matter how bad it looks, you're going to arrive at your destination because I am watching over you. Let me step into it. Don't look at the storm. Don't look at the wave. Don't worry about it being rigged from left side to left side, because I am with you and I gave you my word. So you're going to make it to your destination. And watch it. And because they are on the same ship you are, because of your blessing, they're going to be blessed too. And everybody going to survive this storm. Did you hear me? Your blessing, your God is big enough. Not only will he bless and keep you through whatever the devil throw at you, but if there's anybody standing with you, they will be blessed too. Oh, you better tell somebody. You better stick with me. I'm a blessing. I'm a blessing. Because I'm obedient. You... Here they have been. On this ship, scared to eat. How can I say? You know, it takes a lot of scare for people not to eat for 14 days. That's a lot of scare. Paul said, I was visited last night and we're going to make it. But you got to stay on the ship. He said, eat. Paul take bread, he eat it, and he drank, and they watched him, because Paul said, it's already settled. Hold on. Somebody done called it. He said, there's no need for me to be fretful. There's no need for me to cry about it anymore. Now listen, when you get a word from the Lord, did y'all hear me? When you get a word from the Lord, you can start celebrating even before the word come true. Did y'all hear that? So he eat and everybody see him, so they eat, but he had to eat. Paul, as a matter of fact, the angel said, Paul, don't fear. Wait a minute. What you mean, don't fear? I've been tossed like everybody else. I'm in the same storm as everybody else. In fact, Lord, boats don't survive this. But wait a minute. How big is your God? It's not about your circumstance. It's not about who did what. It's not about who said. Some of us are watching too much news. Well, let me throw this at her. Some of us are, Biden acts like he don't have his full mind. And we're worried about the election. I think we need to vote and all that, but let me set something up for you. I'm not calling Trump the Antichrist. I'm not. But I think we are at the time where everything now is being orchestrated to prepare us for the church departure. We're watching politics and we ought to be reading it as signs. We're watching wars and we ought to know the prophecies in the Bible. We're worried about what they call that, the changing of the weather. Don't you know the Bible said this will happen as the time get closer? We're worried about, he's lying to people. Guess what? The Antichrist is going to be a bigger liar, and people are going to be in awe of him. We are too worldly and not biblical. We're trying to make heaven down here on earth. I don't know about you. I'm packing my bags. I'm getting ready to go see my Lord and my Savior. I'm making things are in order. When I wake up at night, still sleeping, I go down on my knees. You know what? Lord, you waking me up a prayer? I sure will. I understand prophecy. I understand the things that God said has to happen in order for the fulfillment of his plan. My question is, are you working on your purpose? Are you a witness? You're chosen, Ephesians said. You're his beloved. You was called for the foundation of the world. God has purpose in you, and it has nothing to do with how we feel. Is your light shining? We ought to be gathering people to Jesus because you don't want nobody left when trouble hit. My brother, this is not even trouble compared to what's coming. I'm not looking at news. Pulling out my hair. My hair may be falling out, but I ain't pulling it out. I know, Kenny, you don't have no hair. You don't have to tell nobody. They can see you have no hair. No. I'm aware of what's happening, and I'm comparing it to Bible. Not my desire, not my wants. I'm trying to see where are we in the line of future prophecy and the coming events. Satan has rocked us asleep because we have become so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. We're living kingdom. We're living by his power. God wants to shift the atmosphere when we walk in. How can I say this? I never fit. So I don't mind not fitting now. It's my normal. It's my normal. So is there any black sheets in the family? Don't raise your hand. When God has a divine purpose on you, you don't fit. The greater anointing on you, you never fit. Can I throw something at you? You wasn't meant to fit. God has to get us where we are okay walking by yourself. As long as I got Jesus, as long as I know I'm right where he wants me to be, who told you were supposed to be like anybody else? How much time I got? I'm almost out of time. The retina of your eye is different. Your fingerprint is different. Doesn't that tell you that your purpose is different? Amen. I wouldn't be chosen. God has already chosen you. Let him direct everything else. If whatever we are building, if it's not coming from the hand of God, don't accept it. Are you willing to trust God when you have to wait? Waiting is necessary to stretch our faith. Waiting will dictate whether you trust him or not. His word is true, whether it comes in a week, a year, a decade. Abraham had to wait 25 years. Moses had to wait 40. But when God got ready, let me close this out. If you wait on him and you try to keep your life in alignment, that which God has spoken, what's this? Still works, still come true. Get along with him and see what the Lord says he has for you. Sometimes you gotta shut off all the gossip. You gotta shut off all the naysayers. You gotta get away from everybody else and get along with God. Quit talking and start listening. God got something for you because he saved you, he created you, he loved you, but you're only gonna find it in Christ Jesus. If we not careful, we become like a guinea pig that's running on a wheel that's going nowhere. But our God is God. He created everything. He told the children, you act like I don't hear what you saying at night. You act like I'm not him. I'm here to say our God is an awesome God. Our God is a big God. Our God is bigger than our situation. And if we just sit still and wait on him, you will see the power of God in your life. God still works miracles. God still heals. God still make a way out of no way. God still will flip things upside down. God still will interject in your life and bring you joy. There's something about the name of Jesus that makes everything okay. Wait on him. I realize God don't work on my timetable. And in the waiting, he shows you himself. He perfects his plans. In the brokenness, God says, perfect, because now I'm going to rebuild you to trust everything, everything in his hands. Father, even now, will allow this message to keep preaching in the hearts and minds of your people. Paul saw you, experienced you so deeply, so intimately, so real, that he gave up everything to experience you more. He found his life, his purpose in you. Paul even had the nerve to say that he died daily. He had the nerve to say that his life is in Christ because Christ was in him. Lord, he's the most joyful person going through the most difficult circumstances that I have ever seen. Lord, he was kingdom bound and set. Lord, he operated by your power. And everything he did was for your glory. Lord, he wrote that this is the living principle for all of us. Help us to see. Help us to get it. Help us to get this illumination of your revelation, that we will find ourselves in you and realize how awesome, how big, how beyond you really are. Touch now, Lord. Touch us at our point of need. Somebody needs salvation, touch, Lord. Somebody needs deliverance, touch, Lord. Somebody needs a shift in their thinking, touch, Lord. Somebody needs to let go of the past and catch hold of their future, touch, Lord. Somebody just, Lord, we all need a deeper revelation of Jesus and the love that he has for each and every one of us. Even now, Lord, even now, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Give God some praise.